Today on Real Radio.
It is a mystery that is hidden by God. Look at verse 10. But God has, past tense, already happened. He's already done it. Revealed them to who?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 2, and the title of the mini-series is Not of This World. Now, this is certainly a catchy and popular phrase these days, but it's also an accurate description of the true believer in God the Son. And as we're learning, we are not of this world in a whole lot more ways than one, including where we find our wisdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And I, Paul says, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. And I pray, and I have prayed for all of you here today, that that's who we are. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, eons, before time began, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, or just like that, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit or the Holy Spirit of God. Church, in part one, this is what we looked at. We looked at verses 1-5, and that is not of this world was this, that Jesus Christ himself is not of this world. That you and I and Paul delivering to the church at Corinth a message that our God that we worship is not of this world. And it demands of us several things. One is that we trust his message. This is not something that's been concocted by clever men. You are Christians today, or you're here today listening to a message that came from heaven, the Bible. It has stood the time of attack. It has been scrutinized beyond any other book in all of human history, yet it stands. It is the most beloved book every year, the number one selling book in the world, and at the same time, it is the most hated book in the world. Isn't it interesting that the star character in the book is Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation, a name that's worshiped? Isn't it interesting that that same name that appears from Genesis to Revelation is the universal cursing word of the world? Isn't it interesting that it's the God of this Bible that says that he would be crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead? And that through that cross and through that resurrection, you and I would have the forgiveness of sins. That was God's idea. It's God's message. And then we saw that we are to lean upon his faithfulness. It's his message. It's his faithfulness. And we also see this, that it's a fact that we rest upon his power. His message, his faithfulness, his power. And then the second point is what we got into last time, and we covered a little bit of it. And that is God's wisdom is not of this world. And this is very powerful. You're going to hear a lot about this today. I need you guys to be very, very ready to write a lot down. God's wisdom is not of this world. And this is what we saw last time, first of all, was that his wisdom makes us complete. That's in verses 6-8. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. God's wisdom comes from above. Church, listen, you're going to hear a lot about this morning, a wisdom that comes from this world, and that's not a wisdom of God. It's a dangerous thing. One will make you complete and the other one will destroy your life. Friends, listen. There is a wisdom of the world out there that will destroy your life. Listen, I personally, of course not. How could I have something personally against Dr. Phil? He's such a nice guy. I don't personally have anything against Oprah Winfrey. I don't know her. I don't care to know her. I don't need to know her. I have nothing against her personally. But when people like that become iconic counselors of America, yea, the world, and people begin to formulate their lives after what they say and what they say that you ought to do, you literally, knowingly or unknowingly, become disciples of theirs. Do you know that? To be a disciple means to walk in their teaching or their counsel. And you might say, well, what's wrong with this counsel? There may be nothing wrong with that particular counsel that day that Dr. Phil has to say. Come on, let's be honest. Who's the other one on the radio? Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura is a great example. She's Jewish. She knows her Old Testament. She's very strong. Isn't she like known as America's mother or everybody's mother? Well, she sounds like everybody's mother. But here's the thing. She's very, very, very given to the law. And there's not much grace in her life, is there? She needs Jesus. Dr. Laura needs Jesus. Dr. Phil needs Jesus. And Oprah certainly needs Jesus. And here's the thing. They can give some good counsel in a snapshot. But an overall life counsel? No, the Bible says it's wisdom of this world. And it's perishing. There is a wisdom that Jesus gives. You say, how do I get it? In the very word of God, this is your manual for life. Your car has a manual. Have you ever read the manual that's in your car? I'm sure mine's still in wrapping paper. I know this because I haven't looked. Why look? That's boring. You know, people say there's errors in that manual there for Ford trucks. Oh, really? I'm sure Ford doesn't appreciate it. Well, you know, what? People generate excuses. I'll generate this excuse. I don't want to read the manual to my car. Seems boring to me. People will approach the Bible. It's a manual for life. When you came into this world, already waiting for you was this book on how to live and what to do. But we don't read it. And so now we come where we left off last time. Get ready. Here we go. It's in verses 9 to 10. And it is this: God's wisdom is not of this world in this manner. His wisdom opens our understanding. And this is fun. I got to tell you, many of you, I hope if not all of you, know exactly what I'm talking about. God's wisdom opens up your mind. How many things now in life are clear to you now that you're a Christian? Look at verse 9. But as it is written, Paul says, eye has not seen. And can you write in your Bible? Do you have the freedom to do that? I hope you do. I do. That's human eye. Human eyes have not seen, nor human ears have heard, nor have it entered into the human heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, it is a mystery. It's what he's been talking about, this mystery that is hidden by God. Look at verse 10. But, will you circle the word but? But God has, past tense, already happened. He's already done it. Revealed them to who? Us, through his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. His wisdom opens up our understanding. There's not a person in this room right now, you don't have to be a Christian to want this to happen, and that is, God, open up my understanding and make me wise. Everybody wants that. Don't you want to be a wise business owner or a wise student or a wise parent or a wise child? Absolutely. Paul right here, if you didn't get it last time, mark it down this time. Paul is paraphrasing Isaiah 64, verse 4, which says this: for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts, the word acts here in Isaiah 64 is at work for the one who waits for him. Paul is saying every person that sincerely is inclined in their heart to pursue God, the Bible says, Paul quotes Isaiah, that God will reveal himself to them. Are you honestly seeking God today? Yes. Do you really want him in your life? Or the danger is, you say, Pastor, then why am I here? I'll tell you why many people come to church. Now look, your first service, you guys are troopers. This only applies to second and third service. Don't tell them that. But people come to feel religious. In fact, I get notes from people that we're not religious enough here. We don't have enough stained glass. Actually, we don't have any stained glass. How come you don't wear a robe, Pastor, or a suit? If I had it my way, I would not even be wearing this right now. So listen, don't push it. But why? There's a beauty to some people in the liturgical things of religion. Wow, I didn't get anything out of the message, but it looked great to be there. You know what I'm talking about? That is an injection like a drug into a person's psyche or soul that it makes them feel better about religious things and God. Be careful. I'm not knocking those things, because if the gospel is preached clearly in that setting, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want that to happen. But if the gospel is not preached, if people are not getting saved, if there's no cross and resurrection and forgiveness of sins and justification by faith alone in Jesus, then you're being led astray. And this is very, very serious stuff. So eternity itself, listen, the thought of eternity in your mind, heaven, the thought of it, the thought of hell even, the presence of God, the existence of God, and beyond that. Here the Bible's telling us that that information, that knowledge is not available to human beings without God's intervention. God does that. Now look, I've used this verse in funerals, but I gotta tell you know this verse, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the mind or the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What's the context that we use that verse in? About heaven, right? Most often it's about heaven. But you know what? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's all about earth. Watch this. The wisdom of this world does not work regarding heavenly things, but the wisdom of God is Christ crucified and revealed to us, which if we believe, guess what happens? Though you and I walk, I got to do all this sign language. No. You and I walking in this world, the Spirit of God in us, heaven has come down now, and the eye that did not see by human means, the eye does now see in spiritual means. The heart that could never take it in about eternity, heaven, hell, God, goodness, forgiveness, now does, because God's touched us. The heart, the eye, the mind, the ear. You and I were once alienated from God. Now we see, now we hear, now we entertain in our minds. Heaven has been deposited inside of us now as Christians. That's why, you guys, come on. I have a very low tolerance for wimpy Christians. I have a very low tolerance for defeated believers. It was like this. What's the matter with you? I'm a Christian. Well, what's wrong? The world's really difficult. Oh, yeah? Time magazine, did you see the cover recently? It says, there's a baby crying on the cover with the party hat on, and it says, the decade from hell. That's what they're chalking this last 10 years up, the decade from hell. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's coming. Right? It's coming. If they think this is the decade from hell, oh my goodness. No, but here's the Christian. A lot of Christians walking around, what's the matter? This is the decade from hell. Time magazine said so. Get your face up off the ground and look into the Word of God and find out. Jesus said to the believer, the kingdom of God dwells within you. The power of the Holy Spirit is what picks us up. But we're not listening to what he's saying to us. I'm going to give you some verses that I hope encourage you regarding this. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That is the eye seeing. That is the heart receiving. That is the ear hearing right now today. That abundant life is not later. It's now. And for you and I, if we are not experiencing that as Christians, a powerful, activated Christian life, we don't mope around. Listen, the world should tremble when we walk up. The world should shudder. Here comes that guy, he's gonna pray. Oh, we've heard about you, right? Your neighborhood should know, you know what? My baby's sick. Get down to their house. They're Christians. Have them pray for our baby. Let them know. By the way, I think it's a wise thing to let your neighbors know you're Christians. You want to know why? Because it holds you accountable. Okay, before you run out in the front yard and bite your dog, you got to remember, I'm a Christian. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's what he does. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My goodness, church, this is what, I wish I should have brought it out here. You know what that means, that verse? Leave it up on the screen. It means this. As a Christian, we are walking around with a mirror. We have a mirror in front of us. Are you with me? We have a mirror in front of us, and when somebody walks up, because God dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, the image that shines forth is Jesus Christ. Not how he looks. How does he look? We don't know. But how does he act? Ah, that the world should be able to know. By how we act. The Bible says in 1 John, as he was in this world, so are we now. Wow. What a high and lofty calling we have. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Just skip a couple of verses down and look at this. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the man that can only see through human eyes, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So eyes not seen, ear heard, or heart has concluded. Look at Romans. I'm going to give you a lot of verses today. Romans 8, 18. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And all God's people said, you guys, we will suffer. Did you bring somebody to church today? It's their first time here. Let me be the first one to announce to you. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to suffer. Pastor, why'd you tell them that for? Because it's true. In fact, come on. You don't have to be a Christian in this world to be the one suffering. You're going to suffer in this world, period. I would rather suffer in this world with Jesus holding my hand than having nothing holding my hand or no one. But here's the cool thing. The moment you become a Christian, Satan must come up with a spray paint can and put a big target on your back. Have you noticed that? I want to come to Jesus so my life will be simple, easy, and comfortable. Then, you know what? Then go home. It's not going to be that way. This is not the North Pole with Santa. Being a real Christian is a real deal. And in this world, we're going to suffer for knowing Jesus. Jesus says, cheer up. Before they hated you, they hated me. Say, Pastor, don't say anymore. Don't talk anymore. You're going to drive my friend away. Your friend is not stupid. Your friend knows, hey, you know what? Anything in life that's worthy of anything is that thing that's under attack. Many times we may not be able to be known by our friends, but we can certainly be known by our enemies. And that's a good thing. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's in the Hebrew present now. It means now. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. That is true in heaven, and it's true right now, because when you and I pray, how's your marriage? Oh, it could be better. Then pray and ask God to bring the blessings of heaven down into your marriage. How's your kid? He's a lunatic. Pray eternity into your child's heart. Yes. Go after him. Go after her. Look at verse 10. Paul gives an awesome insight to us right here. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In Romans 8:14, it says here, this is a great verse. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, Does the Spirit of God control your life? These are the sons of God, daughters, sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Don't raise your hand, because it would be everyone. Are you prone to worry about things or to be fearful? Do you have what the Greek word is, phobia? If you have a phobia, if I have a phobia, it's because I'm not trusting in the Lord. So Jack, you're making me worry. Now I'm worrying because I'm not trusting in the Lord enough. Listen, take it to him and say, Lord, I worry about these things. I worry about finances. I tell you what, personally for me, and this is what God has called me to deal with in life, and I have a tendency to worry about it, and it's wrong, and that's this. God, I pray for revival for America. I pray for a revival among your people. And I'm supposed to pray to him, but then I wind up worrying about it, which is wrong. God, send revival. You may have another situation in your life. You pray to him, but watch this. But you receive the Holy Spirit of adoption by whom we cry, that is, now we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness, this is powerful, with your spirit, that's the inside of you. Are you guys listening? The inside of you, the spirit of who you are, the part of you, listen, that will live forever in heaven or in hell. That's the spirit of who you are. You know how you have thoughts? Have you ever thought of a, have you ever written a letter to somebody? You ever jotted down a poem? Have you ever had a thought? There's not some human physical mechanism in your body that, oh, that's where that came from. Did you know that you are a body, soul, and spirit? And you will live forever in heaven or in hell, says the Bible. The Bible says here in Romans that the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen. And all God's people said, because here's the thing. You should not, listen, you should not walk around wondering if you're a Christian or not. Every Christian who knows the Bible understands that you are, that I am. To the person who says, uh-oh, I'm not sure, then you need to stop and ask yourself, am I religious or do I have a relationship? Being religious doesn't get you anywhere into heaven whatsoever. Having a relationship with the eternal God does. Which one is it? The Holy Spirit will tell you, you're my kid, I love you, and you're in my family. So that's settled. Here's what we're going to do today, says the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:7. Paul explains a little bit about this in Ephesians 3:7. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, this is amazing, you guys. God knew before time ever began that this gospel message would be given to you right now at this very hour.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Not of This World. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's an insightful passage that differentiates godly wisdom from worldly wisdom. Not of this world. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. I think you're going to like it. You can get it by email, and it's a great way to keep in touch with Real Radio, as well as learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Now, I personally have a bunch of devotionals sitting around the house. Pastor Jack's is the one that I go to every day. Get yours. Call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.